America. Now, I'll give you some background into this portion of Scripture, and we'll say some thoughts, and then we'll get it right into this, keep things moving with everything going on today. But Paul felt compelled to write these letters because Timothy and Titus were serving the Lord in a society that was very secular and openly opposed to the preaching of Jesus Christ. This was a time when, if you recall, who was on the throne, Nero was on the throne. It was a time of great wickedness. It was a time of great persecution for the believer. It was a time when those who tried to live right and do right went under struggles for doing that. This is the backdrop of what is being said here in 2 Timothy. Now, in 2 Timothy 2, verse 1 through 4, he exhorts them, and we're going to see this in a minute, he exhorts them to do something. And this is in light of what is happening in their day and age. And we can make a comparison to our day and our age today. We can make a comparison to our land. Now, I understand we ought to love our land. We ought to love the United States of America. We ought to be thankful for the freedom we have. We ought to be thanking God for His grace and His mercy that He has shown to this nation. But we are living in a day where great wickedness is happening and taking place. We are living in a day where we have to be careful because soon things could change. We read about other nations. We read about other places that they have changed and churches have to go underground and things have to take place and things have to happen. I tell you, it is not far from reality that something like that could take place in our land of America. It is something that could happen. Now, let me tell you, if it does happen, it doesn't matter who is the president of the United States. It does not matter who is in this office, that office. It doesn't matter. Because I do know something that's going to take place and happen. God is in control. God is still on the throne. God has an ultimate plan. God knows what is going to take place, what is going to happen. And I understand that as we are here, God has put us here during this time for a reason and for a purpose. I understand the Bible teaches us very carefully when we are living in the latter days of the last days, there is going to be this taking place, what we're seeing. I understand that many things are happening that are fulfillment of what Scripture has said is going to happen as we get closer to the time that God will take those and rapture those up that are in Him. And the dead in Christ and those which are alive and remain be taken up and will be with Him for all of eternity. And we'll rule and reign with Him. And all that's going to take place and all that's going to happen. I know that's coming. I know soon it's coming where this world is going to be done away with. Now, I'm not putting the time on it. No man knows the hour. No man knows the time. But I do know the day that we are living in. I know the wickedness that is happening. I know all that is taking place. But oh, you and I do not lose hope. You and I do not lose hope because God is still on the throne. And God tells us that the reason you and I are here, we're here for a reason and purpose during this time. Just as Paul and Timothy and those in that church there were there for a reason during their time. I am glad at this point none of us are going to be burned at the stake. I'm glad, now not saying that cannot happen down the road, not to terrify anyone, but I'm glad that's not taking place. During their time, all that was happening. But listen to these words of 2 Timothy. And I want us to listen to these words, and this is what we're going to preach about this morning. Praying for America. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for this time that we can gather. Lord, we thank you for this portion of Scripture. We ask that you would illuminate your Scripture to us this morning, that we glean the truths that you want us to get. And Lord, we pray if there's one that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, that today would be their day of salvation. And Lord, we do pray for America. We do pray for this world. And Lord, we pray that your will be done. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. I want us to first see in the beginning of this chapter the priority of instructions, the instructions that he gave. It was a priority what he is telling them to do. Look at that first verse of chapter 2. He says, I exhort. That word exhort carries ideas. I want your attention. I am teaching you. I want you to get what I'm about to say. I'm going to give you this instructions. I'm going to give you this truth with urgency. He says to young Timothy and Titus and those during this day, I want you to hear this. I want you to get this. This is important to you. And just as it was important to that church in that day, it's important to us. When we exhort someone, we are instructing them, and we want them to hear what is being said. Many times throughout Scripture, it says, hear what the Spirit saith. Hear what the Word of God says. Open your ears and listen to what is being told. This is vital. This is important. This is urgency, what he's going to say. I exhort you to do something. Now look at the next wording here. This is crucial as we look at the priority of instructions here. The instructions that are given as a priority. It says, I exhort, then what's the next word? First. First of all. I want us to understand, he's saying, therefore, that first of all, before everything else, there's something that takes precedent. There's something that has to come first and foremost. I exhort you. I'm giving you this priority of instructions. And I'm telling you that before anything else, this is what you're going to have to do. I think sometimes in our lives, we mean well. We really do. I think we tried to do things and tried to accomplish things, but sometimes we get the steps out of order. How many of you bake a cake before? Or a pie, or something like that. And how many of you, the first time that you made that, you stuck to instructions pretty carefully? You watched every step. And then, over the course of years, who needs this anymore, right? This is our thought. I have it all up here. And you make it like you always do, but it did not turn out the way it did 500 times before. How many have had that happen? Because what did you do? You could have forgot something, or you mixed up how you're supposed to do it. Because those that do bake and that, you know, sometimes you mix your dry ingredients and your wet ingredients separate. And then you mix them together. You don't mix them all together. There's a reason for that. This is not a cooking show, but well, you can look that up. And so if you do some things and you change some things up, it could change the texture of the food. It could make it gritty. It could make it so soft and so moist that you can't even get it. It just falls apart and disintegrates. There's a lot of things to that. The same truth in our lives. What God is saying is, I want you to get this. There's some things that you're going to do that's okay to do. If you look at the church here, and you look at Timothy, and you look at those there, they did some things, and they were standing for truth, and they were standing for right. But what he said is, there's something that you need to do before you do any of that. And in our lives, there's something we must do before anything else. Now, Sunday afternoons, not tonight, but Sunday afternoons, we've been talking about the prayer in the book of Acts, the church praying together. And we're looking at the different prayers in the book of Acts. it is important that a church prays. Now look at the next part. As we're looking at the priority instructions here, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. He says, first of all, I want you to do something. And what do I want you to do? I want you to make supplications. What is supplications? What does the word supplication mean? That word means making a request, sharing our felt needs with God. We are making that request. We're making our supplication. We're making our heartfelt needs before God. And God says, all right, this is what I want you to do. Now, we're going to see what it has to entail later on. See, it's not just supplications or heartfelt needs. Later on in verse number 4, it tells us what we ought to be praying for. It says, you make these heartfelt needs. Now you have the word prayer, and that has to do with worship, and it has to do with reverence. And then it says intercession, and that word intercession means on the behalf of someone else, taking their requests on the behalf of someone else. Then it says the giving of thanks. You're giving of thanks because of what God has done and what God will do. And we're going to see what all this comes together in verse 4 here. And then it says giving of thanks and praying there for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all goodliness and honesty. We're to give thanks. We're to make supplications. We're to make intercessions. We're to make prayers. We're to do those things. And who are we to do those things for? Look at verse 2. For kings and for all in authority. Now, I want us to understand something. Again, Nero was on the stage. Nero was not a good man. Nero was a very wicked individual. But he says, first of all, I want you to do something. I want you to make supplications. I want you to make intercessions. I want you to make prayers. I want you to give thanks for all men, for kings, and for those that have authority over you. For all. The first thing we need to do is we need to pray for this country. We need to pray for the leaders of this country. We need to pray for the authority that is over us. I understand that most of us do not agree 100% with everything that is happening in our world. I understand that many decisions that have been made do not represent the way we think, what we believe, what we want. But I do understand that Scripture tells us, first of all, the most important thing we ought to be doing is we ought to be on our knees making supplication, making intercession, making prayers, giving thanks for this country. We need to be on our knees praying for those that are in authority, in our local authority, in our federal authority, all the authority that is given to us. We need to be praying like we've never been praying before. Now, as we get in this, we're going to see what we're supposed to be praying for. Because there's only one thing that is truly going to change this world. There's only one thing that is going to truly change this nation. That's why this prayer of what they're praying for is the most vital and most important thing to take place. It says, for kings, for all in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all goodness and honesty. It says, all right, you pray for them. Why? So you can live a peaceful life. How do you live a peaceful life with all the wickedness and all the things going on? How do you live a peaceful life with the turmoil that we're in? How do you live that peaceful life? When you're praying like you should be praying, God gives you a peace in your heart and you have peace within you. Even though all the wickedness and all that's taking place and transpiring, your spirit is different. Because you're in communion with God. And as you're in communion with God, praying for this nation, praying for this world, and praying for all men, God gives you a peace within you.
look a little further here. We're going to wrap this all up together, but we'll get to that here in just a minute. Verse 3. We see the priority instructions. We see the priority who we ought to pray for. But we also see the priority for pleasure. Who is this? Who ought to get pleasure? Look at verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. The priority of pleasure. Many times in my life, I want pleasure. I want what's going to make me feel good. I want what's going to make me happy. But what does it say? I exhort you, first of all, that you make these supplications, you make these prayers, you make these intercessions, you give thanks. You do this because it's going to lead you to a peaceful life. You pray for this authority. You pray for those I have because it leads you to this place, and this is good and acceptable. This is what God wants. And who am I supposed to please with my life? I'm to please God with my life. Now, this is not saying that you can't do some other things. It's not saying that you can't stand for right and stand for truth. This is not what they're saying. But it's saying the most important thing, first and foremost, is prayer to God. And for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God and our Savior. Basically, what is he saying? This is what God wants you to do. I believe every believer, every day of their lives, if they want to do what God wants you to do, you need to be on your knees praying for this nation and praying for the authority. I believe it needs to be something that we don't just do. It's something about who we are. And we ought to be praying because that's what God says is acceptable in his sight. Now we're going to wrap this all together and look at verse 4. And we'll refer to some other things as we come back to this whole thing. We see the priority of focus. We see the priority of instructions. We see the priority of the people. We see the priority of pleasure. But we see the priority of focus. What is the whole focus? Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of truth. Why does he say, first and foremost, you need to pray? Why does he say, first and foremost, do supplications, do intercessions, do these prayers, give thanks, pray for your authorities, pray for these individuals? Why does it say this is what God expects and God wants? Look at verse 4. It tells us what is the whole focus, the whole purpose of this prayer is that they would be saved. As you and I are praying for this nation, the only thing that is going to change this nation, the only hope for America is not found in a politician this morning. The only hope for America is found in Jesus Christ. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. The only way for hope is that this world comes to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only hope for this world is that God's children find themselves on their knees praying. That's why the Bible tells us in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. You know what's being told to Timothy in this church? You need to pray. You need to pray that individuals would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And this day, what was being taught, it was called the Gnostics or the super knowledge. They thought they had a better understanding of God and understanding of religion and all the things that are taking place. And he says, no, you pray that these men be saved and they come to the knowledge of truth. Not the so-called super knowledge, but the knowledge of truth. This is how men's going to be saved. They have to understand what the gospel says, the knowledge of truth. We have many individuals in America that have a religion, but they do not have a relationship. And there is a big difference. We have many individuals who try to talk spiritually, and they try to even give scripture, and they give things, but they do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. There are some that think they have knowledge of scripture. But let me tell you, the Bible says we need to pray that all men are be saved, that they come to the knowledge of the truth. And Jesus is the truth. There are religions, and I use that carefully, there are religions that teach something contrary to the Word of God. And I do never want to be unkind or unloving, but if someone teaches that there is more than one way to get to heaven, they are not teaching the truth. If someone teaching that you have to pray to someone else besides the Lord Jesus Christ, that is not true that the Word of God teaches in regards to salvation. If you have to worship or you have to do any form of works to obtain your salvation, that is not scripture salvation. For by faith you're saved through faith, and that not itself is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I understand after salvation, my life ought to be changed. I ought to follow the Lord in obedience. I ought to be baptized, identify with him, and all that there. I ought to live a life that is pleasing in his sight. I ought to have fruit. He produces fruit in and through me. But I ought to be living for him. I ought to be doing those things. But that does not bring salvation. That comes because of salvation. We are living, for many of us, through some of the strangest, hardest, wickedest times that we have ever lived through or ever will live through. Some of you know a little bit, or maybe you were here during the Great Depression and some of that. We are getting to a place where most of those that are saved are now with God in glory, and we're getting past it. But we are living in some dark days. But let that not zap our joy and our love for God. Because what is most important is pleasing God. And our focus ought not to be on ourselves. See, once I receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, I am bought with a price. And that price is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am not my own. I am His. My purpose on this earth is now what? To live for God. What has God given me? And I'm glad I live in America, because God has given me freedoms that I do not have, would not have in other countries at this time. I'm glad that I can stand here and preach whatever God lays on my heart, and I can preach it, and I don't have to worry about it. I'm glad I can share the gospel. I'm glad I can go out. God has given me the freedom to do that. My freedoms and our freedoms are given to us so we can serve God and live for God. Our freedoms are given to us so we can pray for America, so America can be saved and come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our freedoms that we have are given to us by God so I can use them for His honor and His glory and be a shining light and testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. So when people see that burning light, they don't see me, but they see a Savior that loved them, died for them, rose again the third day, and offered the only way of salvation. My freedom is given to me so God can use me. God put Timothy there for a time, for a purpose. God has put you here for a purpose. Are we fulfilling the purpose God has put us here for? This is the purpose God has put you for. To live for Him, please Him, and pray for America, pray for the world which you live in, and pray that these individuals will come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. What's going to change America? God and only Him. How did all the great revivals happen and take place in the past? They all happened and they all took place in the past as a result of prayer. Was a result of God's children getting on their knees and praying. The first thing you and I ought to do in our lives ought to be praying like we've never been praying before. Seeking God. And if God chooses to tarry and to keep us on this earth, wait and see what God can and what God will do. It might not be in a whole huge scale, but look at your individual influences that God gives you each and every day of your lives. Look at those individuals that you can pray for, along with authority. Pray for those co-workers. Pray for those of your family. Pray for those that you come in contact with. Of course, 6 feet apart. You come in contact with. Some of you got that. Well, some of us. This is not a live stream. I probably get in trouble. Some of us that keep 4 feet or 2 feet. But we'll be careful. But pray for those that you come in contact with. Pray for those that you see. And let's see God do great and mighty things. Even in the midst of all this turmoil, see what God can and what God will do. Let's pray believing and seeing, and then let's give thanks to God for what God can and God will do. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for the simple message we've looked at. And Timothy, Lord, I pray that you would be with this nation. That you would be with the individuals that are in places of authority. But Lord, we pray mostly for all those in authority that you would work in their hearts and in their lives. And that they would see their need of a Savior. And we pray that someone would go and share the gospel with them. Because Lord, we know the only thing that will truly transform this nation, this world, is when these individuals truly receive you as their Lord and as their Savior. We pray for our families. We pray for our co-workers. We pray for those that we come in contact with on a regular basis. We pray that we would be that shining light, that testimony to them. And through our lives, they would see their need of a Savior. Well, Lord, we ask and we pray that you'd help each of us to live as we should for you. Help us
to focus on what you want us to focus on. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Go to stand with your heads bowed, eyes closed. Brother Jamie's going to sing as the pianist is playing. As he's singing, why don't you just take a minute in prayer and just do business with God. Maybe you haven't been praying for America as you should.